Hello, good morning, and salutations. I hope that you all found yourselves somewhat dry this morning on your drive-in. I know that that's rough. We live in Oregon. I know some people who will even say, I don't even own an umbrella. I'm so Oregonian. That's foolish. I'm just saying, there's no need for that. So, this morning, I have the absolute joy of talking to you guys about the Christmas present that I consider is the best that I have ever gotten. The best. I'm not talking about a new KitchenAid mixer, or a puppy, or a Red Ryder carbine action 200 shot range model air rifle. I'm not even talking about all of the delicious goodies that are being baked. No, I'm talking about the gift given to us by God. The gift of the true joy of Christmas. The gift which gives us cause to celebrate. Our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know about you guys, but sometimes I struggle a little bit with finding my joy. It just sometimes is this much out of reach. Like, I can see where my joy should be, but it's just not there. It feels empty and kind of cold. And I know this year, it has been a year of many ups and downs and downs and downs. And I've had a really hard time finding my joy this year. We, you know, broke out our Christmas tree out of the garage. We have to have a fake one because my husband's allergic to real ones, which breaks my heart a bit, but I love him, so compromises must be made. I love him more than I love Christmas trees. Yeah. We broke out our Christmas tree. I got the lights on it. And since then, I mean, that was, what, a week and a half, almost 2 weeks ago? I haven't put any ornaments on it. There are two ornaments on our tree, a mermaid ornament that he bought for me at Target this year, and a Dutch Brothers Christmas tree ornament. It's a little cup. That's it. I haven't had the heart to decorate my tree yet. Our year is a little screwy this year for Christmas because of how school gets out and because of weekend parenting time that, you know, we have to share our kids. And sharing your kids means you don't always have them, which means that when you want to decorate your tree as a family, you can't always do that. So I haven't done it. I've been putting it off. And normally that would bother me because I love Christmas a lot. Like, a lot, a lot. I'm the person that starts counting down in, like, June. I'm listening to Christmas music all year round. I just haven't been there this year. With circumstances in my family, we haven't been as joyful this year. But God gave me a fun lesson this last week. And sometimes finding your own joy means looking at the joy of someone else. Sometimes finding your own joy can be as simple as reading a multiple thousand-year-old book. I've had a hard time even putting the hallelujah in my songs this year. A really hard time. But I'm working on that. God's working on that. You know, I've spent most of the season this year feeling a lot like this guy. That's the Grinch, by the way. And if you can't see what it says, blast this Christmas music. It's joyful and triumphant. I have felt neither. But when I look at my situation, it could be worse. When I look at where I am and I look at other people, I realize that there are so many people who find joy in a situation that is so much worse than where I am. I mean, at the end of the day, I have a roof over my head. I have food in my belly. I have a husband and children that love me. I have extended family that I get to see. I get to come here every Sunday and praise God with you wonderful people. I'm not stuck in a situation that could possibly bring me death. That's something to be joyful about, right? I don't particularly enjoy being a Grinch, but since I've had a hard time finding my joy this year, I've kind of felt it. And I know some of you might find that like hard to believe that I've not been joyful, because I come in here on Sundays and I'm bouncy and I'm happy and there's caffeinated energy and I'm trailing after my kids, and that's just who I am, although that's what I make myself be. Sometimes it's a mask. And now, you know, with that mask, it's hard to be me. A lot of you know that I'm a music person. I love music. I feel music. I connect to God through music quite a lot. And losing my joy has made that really hard. And this year, when losing my joy, I felt I needed a shift, a perception shift. I found the inspiration for my change of heart in the form of a woman. Now, you guys probably were thinking I was going to say God or Jesus. No, not today. Technically, God was definitely working in this situation. I mean, in a massive amount. Like, cosmic, humongous shift of God power going on. This woman woke up to find that her entire life had changed overnight. Any plans she had made, the life that she had planned out for herself, it was gone. Blink of an eye. And everything she thought that she was going to be doing was toast. The dreams she had held secret in her heart, all of it was gone. She felt fear. She felt confusion. But that's not all that she felt. This morning, I am going to read to you from Luke. Now, it's quite a lengthy reading, but I've broken it up a bit. And I'm sure that after I start reading, you're going to figure out exactly who I'm talking about. The first part is Luke 1, 26 through 38. Now, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was very perplexed at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." Now Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age. And she who was called barren is now in her sixth month, for nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. At this point, we have a woman, really more of a teenage girl, who has just been told that she is going to have a baby outside of marriage, when she's supposed to be a virgin who is engaged to a man who is not the father of her baby. This was in a time when unmarried pregnant women were typically put to death. They would call her an adulteress, they would take her out, and they would stone her. They would literally throw rocks at her until she was dead. If that isn't enough to strike fear in the heart of most girls, I don't know what is. Fortunately for us, though, Mary was not most girls. She was one filled with faith and a love for God. She said to the angel, "Behold the bondslave of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word." This sentence changed her entire life. Could she have said no? God gives us free will. So yeah, she could have. But she didn't. That one sentence took her from being a simple girl from Nazareth to the mother of our Savior. After being visited by the angel Gabriel, Mary went to visit her cousin Elizabeth. When she arrived there, Mary called out to Elizabeth, and the baby her cousin carried, who would grow to be John the Baptist, leapt within her womb. You see, God had already filled Elizabeth with the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit had caused her unborn baby to recognize his Savior. So the next chunk of scripture also comes from Luke. I'm just about reading the entire chapter of 1 Luke, or Luke 1 today. Good Lord, good gracious. Again, pretty lengthy. This is Luke 1, 39 through 56. "Now at this time Mary arose and went in a hurry to the hill country, to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth." Now Zacharias is a priest in Judah, and Elizabeth is his wife. Elizabeth and Mary are cousins, but Zacharias had been told by the angel Gabriel that he would have a child, and his reaction was pretty much, "Are you kidding me? I'm old, my wife is old, probably not." He was struck mute until they found out that they were with child, to prove that yes, God is working here. Hold your horses, Zacharias. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she cried out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how has it happened to me that the mother of my Lord would come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, and the baby leapt in my womb for joy, and blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what had been spoken to her by the Lord." Elizabeth is a woman of faith as well. Her husband is a priest. It sort of comes with the territory. She felt that feeling, that leaping, that stirring, that joy that is then welling up inside of her at the presence of our King of Kings. Now, the next part in the sermon, there's scripture, is called the Magnificat, or the Song of Mary. And this is what really pulled to me when I sat down and was reading. It caused me to take a look at how I was feeling and figure out how to put back on that cloak of joy. Because as bad as my situation feels, I'm not in a position where I could possibly be stoned to death. And Mary said, "My soul exalts the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has had regard for the humble state of his bondslave. For behold, from this time on all generations will count me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name, and his mercy is upon generation after generation toward those who fear him. He has done mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who were proud in the thoughts of their heart. He has brought down rulers from their thrones and has exalted those who were humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent away the rich empty-handed. He has given help to Israel, his servant, in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and his descendants forever." And Mary stayed with her about 3 months and then returned to her home. Mary's response to her entire life being flipped on its head was joy. She felt honored. God had chosen her to give birth to his son. She should have been terrified. After reading this passage multiple times, it really made me think. Joy is not something that can actually be taken from us. We can give it up. We can choose not to see it. But nobody can take our joy. It's up to us to find it. God gives us joy. He'll never stop giving us joy. That's why he, God the Father, holds us accountable, more or less, for finding that joy. When you can't find your joy, it's not God's fault. This week has taught me quite a bit about finding my joy, about finding joy in situations that feel hopeless. I found joy near the end of my week this week by relying on God a little bit more than usual. I was absolutely convinced at the beginning of this week that I was writing a sermon about faith. For some reason, I thought the third week of Advent was faith. I think I was mixing up Advent with, you know, faith, hope, and love. Yeah, not. It was not. So Wednesday night, Thursday morning, I kind of figured out that my sermon was actually on joy. And I went, "Oh dear, God, I'm going to need some help." And God said, "Okay, maybe you should do some reading." okay. My first thought was, what am I going to read? The answer was, duh, the Bible. So I read. I started at the beginning of the New Testament, and I just read. Now, does anybody know where Luke comes in the New Testament? It's not the first book, and it's not the second book. I read through Matthew, and I read through Mark, and I got into Luke, and it was like a light bulb had turned on. It might have been a Christmas light bulb, but it was a light bulb. And I went, oh, wait. Hey, look, I found some joy. Interesting. And it really was that passage, the Song of Mary, the Magnificat, that pulled at me. I thought, well, if this young girl, who probably half my age, can find joy in an unspeakable situation, I can find joy. I can find joy. I can find the words that I need to be up here in front of all of you. It gave me back my hallelujah, more or less. So I went online, and I was kind of tooling around. And you know how sometimes you get on YouTube, and you start with one thing, and you end up somewhere really different? After going through, you know, cat videos, and, you know, yeah, people falling down walking, or in my case, they were falling down while doing the Kiki challenge. If you haven't watched those, they're pretty funny. I'm not even going to lie. But I ended up finding a song that I would like to share with you guys. It's not the Kiki song, I swear. The cover of this song was recorded by Caleb and Kelsey Grimm. And it definitely touched me. The words are rewritten from Leonard Cohen by Cloverton, is the name of the band. But after reading the passage from Luke, I was able to sing along, put some joy back in my hallelujah, and this is what I found. Marcus? I think that might be my new favorite version of that song. It says things that make me feel, more or less. With this season, it's so easy to get wrapped up in the presence and the people and the rushing and the madness. Just also remember the joy. God gave us his joy, his pride and joy, so that we may still find joy. If you guys would please pull out your connection cards, you will see that on the front is a place for your name, as well as, you know, address, phone number, email, birthday. If you have not put your birthday on a card for, you know, you don't have to put the year, just the month and the day. Fill those out as much as you feel comfortable. That way we can, you know, get in touch with you, see how you're doing, and remember your birthday. On the back is the next steps portion and a spot for prayer request. As always, please mark if your prayer request is confidential. For your next steps this week, I didn't even bother to make a slide for it. Because this week, what I want you to do for your next steps is find some joy. Joy in being with your family. Joy in celebrating Christ Throw him a birthday party if you want to. Why not? It could bring you some joy. It could remind you that there's joy. I'm hoping that each and every one of you can find at least this much joy this week and just hold on to it. I'm going to lead us in prayer as Ben Delzer comes up for a special song during our response time. Most gracious Heavenly Father, you are so awesome and so good. You, Lord, gave us your Son. You gave us the ultimate Christmas present, a Savior who could keep us in contact with you. I hate to think of what the world would look like now without him. Father, the joy that you give us is something that can't be replaced by anything. There's no feeling better than the joy that you give us, God. And we are so very thankful for that. I pray that anyone who is struggling with their joy, like I have been, you will help them to figure out where they've misplaced their hallelujah. God, as we venture forth into our week and into the rest of this hectic, crazy season, I ask, Father God, that you will not only let us feel joy, but let us spread joy. Help us to show others why we find joy in this season, in your Son and in you. Thank you, God, for giving us joy and for giving us Christ. In your precious Son, Jesus Christ's name, amen.